We'll continue to consider this evening the 119th Psalm, and we're beginning this series by looking at 10 terms that are used in this psalm to describe the revealed will of God and its value that it has for us. And this evening we have the last of those 10 terms, and then, Lord willing, we'll continue as the series goes on to look at each of the passages in this 119th Psalm, so that we can continue to reap from this psalm all the many lessons that we can learn from it. So let's look at Psalm 119 and verse 40, where we find this last of our 10 terms that describe the revealed will of God, and that is simply the word righteousness. And so in Psalm 119, verse 40, we have an example of that. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Then let's also look at verse 142 of that Psalm 119, where we have once again the term used. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Now, the word righteousness, as most of you probably understand the term, it simply means to do justice or to do right. Righteousness speaks of doing what is right, what is just, what is fair. God's righteousness speaks of his standard of what is right and what is wrong in this life for us, in his universe. He's the creator of all things. He has every right to set the standard of what's right and what's wrong. And the world today rejects God's standard, rejects his authority. He has no authority to tell us what to do or what to think or how to conduct ourselves. And sadly, many of God's people have adopted that same attitude toward the Word of God. Well, we pick and choose what we believe is relevant to our life. But if you look at the Bible that way, then you have already corrupted it to the point that you will not benefit from it. You will not know its value, its protection, its comfort, its joy that is found in his righteousness, in his revealed will. He's revealed that standard to us in his word, the Bible. This is why the term, we can use it in that abstract way to talk about the righteousness of God. But God's right standing is revealed to us in his word. And so his word, the Bible, these instructions that he has for us, we can simply call them his righteousness. It's his standard. To say that there are no absolutes, no right or wrong, no absolute truth, which so many today say, everybody has their own truth, and that truth will vary and contradict other truths, and they say there is no absolute truth. But to say that is to say that there is no God, that there is no standard of righteousness. It's interesting that the psalmist here says, revive me according to your righteousness. And that is kind of an odd statement at first reading, because most people, when they think of the righteousness of God, you think of what? Well, punishment. And his righteousness is severe and strict, and therefore it involves punishment. So how in the world can righteousness revive us, make us stronger, give us strength and comfort and encouragement? Well, when you understand what the righteousness of God really is, you'll understand quite quickly how it can revive you. God is sovereign. That means he can do whatever he wants to do. This is his universe. But he's also righteous. And that means he always does what is right according to his standard, which he's revealed to us. Now, if he was just sovereign, he could say one thing one day and the next day say something different and that contradicts it. And he can do it because he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But because he's also righteous, he always does what is right according to his own standard of what is right. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, that should be a source of comfort for us. It should revive us to understand his righteousness. Many fear the righteousness of God, thinking it only involves punishment. But for the child of God, It involves peace, comfort. He will always deal with me according to what he has revealed to be right in his word. His righteousness revives me. John 1 and verse 12. He has declared some things that are right. He will always deal with me as his son, as his child, because he set that standard. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We have the authority to be called his children because he gave that to us. He declared that to be right. By putting our faith in Jesus Christ, by accepting his gift, he has declared that I am his child, and he will always deal with me as his child. That means I'll never face his condemnation. That gives me peace and comfort when I am living this life and when I have my own shortcomings and when I fall short of God's standard. I know his standard also says he will always deal with me as his child. Sometimes that may mean discipline, but he disciplines those that he loves. And so that, again, revives me, knowing that he'll never throw me on the trash heap. So many of God's people, they deal with constant guilt and condemnation because they don't understand the righteousness of God, who will always deal with us according to what is right with his revealed will. Romans 3 and verse 26. These are some of the righteousnesses of God when we read these scriptures. This is his righteousness he is revealing to us. Romans 3, 26. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Yes, I was born a sinner. I was his enemy. But his standard is Jesus paid the price to satisfy the righteousness of God. Jesus paid it in full, paid my debt in full. And so now it's only the right thing for God to do to deal with me in favor and grace. That's what he revealed in his righteousness. We have the right given to us by the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the Sovereign God. He gave us the right to expect that he will always provide for us and protect us and deal with us as his children. Romans 8. These are just a few of the many righteousnesses of God that are revealed to us in his word that will revive us, that will encourage us, give us that comfort and give us that desire to go on and serve him, because we know that he's declared some things about us. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything you need to have God's best in this life and eternity, we have the assurance that he will provide. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's going to go over his head? There is no other court higher than his, no other authority. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Does that not give you comfort? To know that whatever you need to have God's best, you have a right to expect God to provide. He gave you that right. We don't have to twist his arm. We don't have to make him. It's his righteousness. It's what he will do that is right according to what he has revealed. John 14, verses 1 through 3. I expect Jesus to come again. It's only right. He said he was coming. In John 14, we have this promise. And if this is not true, then Jesus is a liar. He's not God, because God cannot lie. But if we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we believe that he always acts according to what he has revealed to be right, and it's always right to keep your word, we can believe Jesus is coming. In this world in which we live, as it gets darker and darker and evil just grows greater and greater, I need a little revival. I need a little encouragement because everything around me is, if I focused on what's going on in the world today, right here in our own country, around the world, I don't know how I could get up in the morning. It's just depressing. Just looking at it from the human standpoint, it's just disgusting. It's disappointing. It's depressing. But when I read the Word of God, I'm revived because I know He's going to do what's right. He's going to keep me until He takes me home, either by way of the grave or by translation. Until Jesus comes, He's going to provide everything I need. I don't have to despair. Until Jesus comes, I can focus on why I'm still here, and that is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to whosoever will, first for salvation and then for a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and what He has accomplished for us on the cross. I can focus my energy and my attention on those things, on doing what's right according to what He's revealed to be right, knowing that He's going to take care of everyone else and everything else, that I don't have to waste my time and energy and emotions on things that I can't do anything about, but I know that He's in control. John 14, 1-3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Instead, let it be revived. You believe in God?" Jesus said, "Believe also in me." They're both righteous. "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." It's only right to keep your word. Jesus will keep His word because He's righteous. I'm glad for the Word of God. I'm glad for the revealed will of God, what He's revealed Himself and His purposes and His plans for me. I can look at the world and I see God's plan for the nation of Israel. I can see God's plan for the human race. I can see the plan of redemption. I can see the mission and the message of the church. All of that is because I've seen what's right in His word. And so I can find strength to carry on every day. God will fulfill all of His promises to me because it's the right thing to do. Psalm 119 and verses 40 and 41. We'll go on and read on from 40. We'll read it again, but we'll go on to verse 41. Psalm 119, verse 40 says, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your word." This is the confidence and the boldness with which we can come before the throne of grace and petition our Father for these things, because we know it's His will. We know that He'll give us the strength we need today. We know that He'll give us direction, that He'll order our steps when we look to Him and are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can expect that from our Father because He's righteous, and He's revealed what is righteousness in His word. Luke 1:38. Mary's faith here has always challenged me. We read what is often referred to as the Christmas story, but there's so much more here. When you understand the faith it took for Mary to say these words, she was just told that she's going to have a baby apart from knowing a man, and that that baby was going to be the very Son of God. And Mary, knowing that such a thing is absolutely impossible, according to human experience, that cannot happen, to have a baby without knowing a man, impossible. Then to also consider this unwed young lady becoming pregnant in that society, in that culture, could mean being stoned to death. All of these things that were a reality and an obstacle to her believing what she was told, and yet she makes this statement, after wrestling with some of these things, "How can this be?" And the angel said, what? "Well, with God, nothing's impossible." And so after hearing the declaration of what God said was right for her, she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In other words, she said, "So be it. Your will be done in me and through me and for me, according to what you have revealed to be right and true. And when we read the Word of God and the promises that we have for us in this church age, even when we can't understand it and it seems like our circumstances and our situation tell us that those things can't possibly happen, that God ministering to you in that particular situation, it's just impossible. We need to be able to have the same faith that Mary had. So be it to me according to your word, because it's right. God is always right. And the sooner we learn to agree with him in every area, whether it be correction or discipline or direction, the sooner we learn to agree with the righteous one about his righteous will, then we'll know the blessings and the protection of being right too. I think we'll close there this evening. That wraps up our list of 10 terms. Do we understand and see how his righteousness can revive us? That we don't fear it, we welcome it, we rejoice in it. But I thought those terms, as I kind of began to dig into them a little bit, I felt like they gave us a broader understanding of the value and the importance of the Word of God. It's just too many times we just think, well, that's, you know, it's the Bible. But it's more precious than gold. It's more necessary than our daily food. And we know how necessary that is. But it's the nourishment for eternal things, and not just for this short life that we live here. So may we, when we approach the Word of God, may we approach it with that, just to be in awe that we even have the privilege to be led into the counsels of the Almighty God, to know what he knows, to know what he intends for us. To me, it boggles my mind that he, well, as the psalmist also says, what is man? Why in the world would you pay us any mind, especially when we've rebelled against you so? Why would he take time to reveal his will to us? But this is the love and the grace of our God. And so may we never take this word, the Bible, for granted. May we always value it. All right, well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed.